So last night I was thumbing through on my phone and as you guys all know, I'm a news junkie, so I was thumbing through news articles on my phone and I came across one particular news outlet, and the first four articles were this. One suspect believed to be dead in shooting at Texas Mall. Sources say police searching for possible second subject. That's first title. Second one, video shows police responding to active shooter incident in Texas Mall. Third one, 16-year-old killed in shooting altercation at Houston after prom party. The fourth title of articles, five people injured, one killed in shooting at a large party in Chino, California. I think it's fair to say that we live in a world that is dealing with the reality of fighting and wars and hostility and unpeace at every level of society. It's everywhere. It's been said that Nancy Astor, a British politician, the first woman seated as a member of parliament, once said to Winston Churchill, "If you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee." And Churchill replied back and said, "If you were my wife, I would drink it." So we laugh at this, and rightfully so. But it does show us how we're inclined to quarrel, right? Some people, probably some in here, have clashed with so many people that we don't really know how to live peaceably with others. Have you ever known somebody like that? Where it just seems like they're almost unhappy if they're not in the midst of a conflict with somebody? If they're not fighting with someone? There are some folks that just simply enjoy being the Hatfields and the McCoys. They're just constantly wanting to be at battle with somebody else in life, it feels like. History shows us that most peacekeeping efforts, by far and large, have failed over the course of time. In fact, nearly 4,000 years of recorded history would say that the world has actually been at peace during that 4,000 years, 286 years of that. That's 7%. This morning we're going to look at another one of the Beatitudes. As we've been working through the Beatitudes, we're looking at another one this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. So if you want to turn with us there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 is what we're going to be primarily focusing on this morning. And in this beatitude, Jesus tells us that this should be the attitude of us as a Christ follower, if somebody that is proclaiming to follow Jesus Christ. And here's what it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Or going off of the phrasing that we've been using for that word blessed that you see on the screen on the bottom there, it would be paraphrased a little bit differently, saying having and experiencing God's approval are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The thing about peace is that it can be really elusive. Like one moment, you can have peace at home, you can have peace at work, in your relationships, in your school, and then the next moment, it's gone. Anybody ever experienced that? Everything's going great today, fantastic day, and then just like that, something happens and that peace is gone. Sometimes even at church, within the church, maybe it's especially at church or within the church. Peace is hard to find. Somehow, many believers have managed to take the words of Jesus where it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. I will be in their midst. And they've turned that verse into where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, eventually I'll bring conflict. It's true. It's the human default setting in most of us. It's easier than it is to bring peace. The fact that the lack of peace is so prominent is absolutely nothing new today. Humans have been at war with God over if you go back to Adam and Eve and when they sinned. Beginning with the conflict of Cain and Abel, right? Remember that one from the Old Testament? Eventually that led to what? The death of a brother. They battled it out with one another. So when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers in this passage, he totally shocked those around him. How could the Jews, who hoped to overthrow Rome and restore their nation to a place of prominence, how could they do that if they were going to be peacemakers? The Romans weren't going to just lie down and let Israel have their way. So it's within that context that Jesus promised to bless the people who would become his agents for peace. Saying that the peacemaker would be called sons of God, disciples of Jesus, followers of Christ. This means, like when you think of this context and this verse, this means, and it's going to be on the screen because I want you to get this, every disciple of Jesus, if you are in here and you are following Jesus, this means you, according to this beatitude, is responsible for being a peacemaker in their home, their church, their community, their nation, and ultimately in the world. That's our calling. That's Dustin's calling as a follower in Jesus Christ, to be a peacemaker. Before we proceed, let's look at it. What biblical peace is not, to start with. All right? It's not the absence of hostility. The biblical concept is much deeper than an absence of conflict or something that you can just go on a vacation for a week to get away from it all. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom, referring to a state of wholeness and harmony intended to be in all relationships. When used as a greeting, it was a wish for outward freedom from disturbance and an inward sense of well-being. Like this word has incredible depth to it. It's vital to understand that Jesus isn't referring to being a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. A peacemaker. It's something that we do as believers of Christ. The difference is that a peacemaker actively overcomes evil with good. The reality is that in our culture and in the days of Jesus, right? Not everyone is today or was then a peacemaker. There were other categories for this word peace, right? Like peace breaker and peace fakers that we can talk about for a moment this morning. In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, and he's talking about what I'm going to call the peace breakers. He says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings that you have learned, are contrary to God's word. Keep away from them, he says, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Peace breakers enjoy causing division, enjoy throwing obstacles in the way of people to prevent them from following and accomplishing God's will. They do this because they are far more concerned with their own plans and their own desires being satisfied and met. Yet notice how they do it. I think prominently, they do it with their words. It's easy to create conflict, much easier to create conflict than to promote peace. It only takes, like, usually a single word. The quickest ways, I think, for us to tell if we're a peace breaker is to consider our words that we use. Especially when we're in tough and hard situations or situations of disagreement with other people. Do you use words that unite or separate? Encourage or discourage? Because you see, like, we can have completely different opinions on a subject, any given subject, and I can still choose my words carefully and not cause division in a relationship by choosing to listen, by choosing to try to understand, but by choosing to try to hear somebody else's perspective and showing that common courtesy. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29, he said, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building, for building others up according to their needs that may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and every form of malice. To sum up what Paul is saying is what our grandmas told us, right? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's what Paul's saying. And that might be a good takeaway for us. If we as believers are truly trying to be peacemakers. The other one I mentioned is there's this thing that we're going to call peace fakers. And peace fakers are people who will do anything to have peace at any cost in an effort to avoid conflict. That's not healthy or good either. So I want you to hear me on that. They prefer peace over truth, over healthy relationships, and over what's right. Peace fakers see peace as the absence of any kind of argument or discord. They'll go to great lengths to just avoid conflict, confrontation, and unrest. But in doing so, they settle for a counterfeit peace that's based on avoiding the realities. Peace fakers know that there's a problem, but won't say anything because they don't want to disturb the peace. Peace fakers understand that sometimes to have peace, someone might just have to take a definitive stand for truth by confronting a peace breaker. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 tells us, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. We're encouraged to speak truthfully. Here's another big one. If you're taking notes, here's another big one. It'll be on the screen, right? Listen to this. We couldn't have peace with God if Jesus hadn't confronted sin on the cross. Living at peace is not avoiding the hard things. We couldn't have peace with God if Jesus hadn't confronted sin on the cross. It was a very costly confrontation, I would say. But Jesus made peace through his blood. So what's being a peacemaker? It's much easier to either break the peace or fake the peace than it is to make peace. Jesus used a pretty strong word for maker, meaning to do or to create. So in other words, peace must be actively made because it never happens just by chance. It won't. We can hope for it, but if we do nothing to create it, it's not going to happen just by chance. Somebody once equated it to a thermostat in a room, right? And you can, on your thermostat, there's usually a thermometer, and it tells you what the temperature is in the room. You can look at the temperature in the room, and you can see that it's 70 degrees, and you can hope like everything that it would be 65 degrees, but it's not going to happen just because you're hoping for that to happen. You actually have to do something to change the temperature in the room, like adjust the thermostat. So being a peacemaker is us being more like thermostats, not thermometers. We're adjusting something to bring change to the situation. When left to ourselves, I think we drift towards being divided. That's just kind of our default setting in our humanness and our selfishness. Because peacemaking is messy, messy work, it's easier for us to just kind of drift towards division. But Jesus, if you remember to our verse, doesn't call us to drift. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. It's going to be on the screen again. Peacemakers are disciples who strive to prevent arguments and strife. They are harmonizers, reconciliers, bridge builders who stand in the gap no matter the cost to usher in peace. The story is told of a 4th century monk who sensed God's call to leave the monastery for Rome. And when he arrived in Rome, people were mobbing in the streets because the gladiators were fighting and killing each other in the Colosseum. He thought to himself, 4 centuries after Christ, and they're still killing each other for enjoyment. So he ran to the Colosseum to find the gladiators saying, "Hail to Caesar, we die for Caesar." And he thought, this isn't right. So he jumped the rail and he went to the center of the field and he stood between the gladiators holding up his hands and he said, "In the name of Jesus, forbear, stop." The crowd protested, shouting, "Run him through." The gladiator hit him, sending the monk, flying in the air down to the ground. He got himself back up and he said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd continued to chant, "Run him through." The gladiator pulled his sword through the monk's stomach. And he fell, turning the sand red with his blood. He died. Just before he died, his last words were, "In the name of Jesus, forbear," one last time. And they say a hush came over the crowd. And soon one man stood and left, and another one. And within minutes, the crowd had emptied out of the arena. It was the last known gladiator contest in the history of Rome. Peacemakers are willing to stand in the gap. In this situation, violently, and with the cost of life, to usher in peace. So how do we respond to this as believers? I think there's a few things. I think first of all, number one, we need to make peace with God ourselves. Sin is our greatest enemy. Sin is the greatest separator that causes our fellowship with God to be broken. When there is active known sin in our lives, it's going to cause separation and division between us and God. This broken fellowship with God has led to inevitable conflicts between people and nations. Christ is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 say, "But now in Christ, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." Christ purchased our peace. Romans 5, 1 says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." Our peace was purchased through Jesus Christ. So the first one is make peace with God. Make sure that you are at peace with God. Secondly, be at peace with yourself. Once a person has found peace with God, it should translate to peace within. God not only provides for our eternal peace of mind, but also for our daily peace of heart. Most conflicts arise because a person has little or no inner peace in their lives. Paul wrote about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the kind of peace that will sustain us in the storms of life. Now, I'm going to be the first one to stand up here and tell you, just because you're a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with having peace in your life. I know I have those days. Make peace with God. Be at peace with yourself. And then number three, live at peace with others. The peace of God can give you peace within, and it can give you peace with others. There's something wrong with people who always seem to be looking for ways to create discord and confusion. People who enjoy destroying peace and the peace of others. James wrote in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." James is saying that the cause of our human conflict is man's deep-rooted determination to get his own way, right? It's pride and greed and anger and pleasure and power. Our lust for our selfish ways leads to conflict with others. Thank you for that amen, Lincoln. Is that Lincoln? No. Our lust for self always leads to conflict with others. Overcome the battle within, and we can live at peace with others. So we need to make peace with God, be at peace with ourselves, live in peace with others, and then I think that we can show peace to the world as believers. We who have made peace with God and know God's peace, we've got to strive to live with peace with others and proclaiming and living the gospel of peace before the world. Really, the work of being a peacemaker is sharing Jesus with others. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" The work of peacemakers is reconciliation. We who have been reconciled to God must help others be reconciled to God. That's why things like Family Fun Fair, Vacation Bible School, life groups, senior fellowship, all those things are so important, right? So let me ask you this. If we follow God's call to being peacemakers, what's his promise to us? Benefit of being a peacemaker is that you're called a child of God. You're one of his. Being a peacemaker is a quality of being a disciple of Jesus. But if, as a believer in Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, if I'm continually disruptive, divisive, and quarrelsome, then I probably have really good reason to question how valid my salvation is. Right? I want us to get this. Again, it's going to be on the screen. A person who isn't a peacemaker, who isn't showing this trait to others, this is kind of harsh. Either is not a disciple of Jesus, or they're a disobedient disciple of Jesus. Just let that sink in for a second. If we don't live our lives as disciples of Jesus, as trying to be peacemakers, something's not right in our walk with Jesus. See, not only does God determine how a person will be saved, right, by faith in the cross, by the death of Jesus, he also determines the qualities which will determine the genuineness of a person's faith in Christ. In this particular case, Jesus says that being a peacemaker is a distinctive quality of being a follower of Christ, being called a child of Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. They shall be called the sons of God. Called means to give a name to bear the title of sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus is expressing that those who bear his name must also bear his character. It is Jesus' character to be a peacemaker. And in ushering in peace, We bear his name. We bear his name. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your good word. Thank you for this time that we've had over these last weeks to go through these Beatitudes and look at them and see how they impact our lives on a daily basis. This morning we look at this characteristic that we are told that we are to have as followers of you, that we are to be peacemakers, that we are to look for ways to change, to be change agents within our families, within our schools, within our workplaces, within our communities, within this world. And give us courage, Lord God, because we know that being a peacemaker is not always received well. So give us courage to take stands when we need to speak up and be vocal when we need to, all in the hope and desire and effort to bring peace where we have influence. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.